Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 9 for January 9th, 2007. iTalk. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. And a very good evening. It is 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. From California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and I'm still in Toronto.
Still there! And we are
still there.
Live on Talk Show with Net at Night. Amber and I were just talking about how glad we are we're not to be in Las Vegas tonight.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy not to be there. You know, like I said, I've been to CES, and I just feel like all I do is I walk forever, bump into people. It's crowded. I'm not a big Vegas fan. But, you know, I think Macworld is a different thing because there's more of a community at Macworld, and I will definitely miss out that this year. But I know you're doing lots of great stuff from there. So
it's going to be interesting because I have a feeling that, and by the way, in half an hour, Bill Gates will start speaking at CES, and we might just drop in on the feed. I don't know. What do you think?
I love that we can kind of eavesdrop on people. It's the best part about this.
It's probably illegal, but we're going to do it anyway. We'll visit Microsoft's site and take a little bit of the stream, and maybe you and I can comment on what Bill's up to.
Yeah.
Probably highly illegal, but what the heck? It's a podcast. There's no one listening, right?
Yeah, there's not tens of thousands of people who might download it.
Nobody could care less.
Just the two of us, Leo.
Just you and me. That's all. It's just us having fun with Bill.
That's how I approach it on my website. It's kind of like, Leo and I are talking on Sunday night. You're welcome to join in.
It kind of is like that. It's, you know, this is the only time of the week that I get to talk to Amber these days. And so we're having a phone call. And if you want to listen, fine.
And it's great. I mean, the call show on New Year's Eve was a ton of fun.
We're going to do a lot of calls this time because we only have one guest. So
the booking
department fell down on the job this time.
Yeah, our Chase producers, they're just not up to snuff. And in fact, I think we should probably fire
them. Let's
fire them. They really...
We don't need them.
They're slacking, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. I'll talk to them after the show, Leo. Don't worry.
We do have some sites we'll talk about in just a little bit. And yeah, we can talk about Macworld. Too. I was going to say, I think that the Steve Jobs might upstage everything that's going on at CES with his announcements on Tuesday. He's going to talk at the same time as Michael Dell is giving his keynote at CES. Who do you think people are going to be paying attention to?
Well, I would assume Jobs.
Yeah, I think so. So, you got any predictions? What do you think Steve's going to say?
I don't know. You know, I kind of hate this whole predictions thing.
Me
because
too.
It's no fun because you end up being wrong.
You can't win.
You just don't know anymore.
Our friend,
you know?
Kevin is really on the line because, in fact, there's a blog, you know, that says it was on Dig today that says here's the like 10 journalists who are really on the line. Their reputations are on the line because of their predictions. We're going to see Tuesday if they know what they're talking about. Number one, of course, Kevin Rose, because he claimed, you know, some knowledge about the iPhone. I'm on there. I'm on the list, too. I never made any claims. I repeated what other people said. I said, here's the rumors I'm hearing. Take it with a grain of salt because Apple doesn't tell anybody anything. Nobody really knows what's going on.
Yeah, that's part of it. I think no one really knows what's going on. And, you know, like predictions are inherently, you know, they contain an element of like untruthiness.
Yeah, because they're made up.
I don't know if that's a word. I think maybe just truthiness is now a word, but I don't know about untruthiness.
I don't think either is a word.
Truthiness is a word now, right?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure, Leo.
You're telling me that they added that to the dictionary? Truthiness?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Truthiness.
Really?
We got Google to check that out.
All right. I'm going to start the stream from CES because Bill will be talking about 25 minutes. And maybe as we're talking, all of a sudden Bill Gates will say something. Wouldn't that be funny?
It'll be we should comment. We should comment.
Well, that's what I thought we would
talking.
Do. Like, do a little commentary on it.
And you can mute him, and then we'll respond as though we're having a conversation with Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, something's coming across right now. Oh, they're just playing music.
What kind of music, just out of curiosity?
Sounds like, here, it's banjo music. Usually, you know, I have to say something. This is what Microsoft plays in the hall while they're waiting for Bill Gates. Apple plays like, you know,
the Gorillaz or something like that.
Yeah, the Gorillaz. They play some hip. You know, let's get it started. You know, what is that? The Electric Prunes? Who is that sings that? The, you just saw them. The Fugees. Who is it? It's,
did you just say the Electric Prunes?
I did, and I'm mistaken. That was a mistake. Oh, I don't believe it is.
You're thinking of that Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas. I confuse Black Eyed Peas with prunes.
It's understandable, yeah.
But see, that just shows you. I mean, this is what Microsoft's playing. Let me play a little bit more of this. This is what Microsoft's playing. This is terrible. I mean, I guess it's okay. I mean, it's a little bluegrassy. It's not exactly hip.
But what is that song? Because that's a remake of another.
Oh, really?
Song, right?
Oh, see,
yeah.
You're a music expert. I'm gonna play some more of it, and you can.
I can barely hear it.
I know it's not very loud. You recognize it? Sounds like the Birds or something. Can you hear it at all? You know what? I take it back. It's pretty. I'll take it back.
It's not a bad song. I think that more, it's just more the song is a little mellow, right?
Mellow.
And I think that's one of those things that Apple's so great at is just getting people kind of excited. And, you know, when you're in their stores, when you're at the event, yeah. You just feel like you're definitely part of something. You're not sort of just, you know, kind of moseying along.
Here we go. Another. You've got to figure this is Bill's last keynote. He's retiring in 2008. This might be his swan song.
Yes, I'm sure it is. And, you know, it's interesting. It'll be interesting what he has to say. But I find him as a speaker a little bit dull.
Terrible speaker. Although they take great pains to dress up everything he does with videos. I remember some very funny videos. There was one. Remember the old, was it a Volkswagen commercial? Da 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 da. There's two guys driving along in the Volkswagen. Da da
yep.
da da. And they see a sofa on the sidewalk and they put it in the back seat. Da 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 da. And they're driving along and they go, and they smell a sofa and it's kind of funky. And they throw it out and they drive on. It's a Volkswagen commercial. So Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer made their version of that. And it's pretty funny because it comes on the screen. You know, Bill's talking and then it comes on the big screen at the hall there at CES, and it's a giant auditorium. And it's you kind of have to laugh because there's Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer looking kind of goofy, da 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 da, driving along, and they see an old Sun server sitting on the sidewalk there.
Oh boy!
And they look at each other and they go, and they pick it up and they put it in the back seat, da 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 da. They're driving along, and then they smell it and they go, and they throw it back out. And I thought that was funny. I mean, they spend probably millions of dollars to make Bill look like he's pretty fancy. But of course, what is the press report on? The crashes, the blue screens of death, you know, when the Xbox crashes.
I know.
These demos crash. If you want to watch the stream at 6:30, if you want to leave us, or do both. You can do both. Microsoft.com/CES is where you'll see the stream. Let's talk about some of your links, shall we?
Yeah, let's definitely jump into that. So I don't know if you saw blueorigin.com. This is the initiative by the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and he recently, actually in November, has launched a spaceship, which I think was launched in Texas. It went up like 260 feet into the air, and I guess he's trying to, you know, get into the whole space travel thing, just like Richard Branson. So interesting.
You know, if you had unlimited money, which essentially these guys have, I guess it's kind of cool. That's the kind of thing you'd want to do, right?
I think it might be the kind of thing you want to do. I mean, I can't imagine anything probably more exciting than, you know, trying to get
into space.
A space travel business up and running. But I think it's just, I absolutely think it's hilarious that, you know, going from the biggest online bookstore in the world to getting into space travel. Like, at that point, you have to sort of say that, wow, you know, like,
they have too
the
much
internet
money.
Is here to stay.
there gets to be a point where you have so much money that building a building or buying a yacht, it just doesn't take enough money. you've got to do something more expensive. And in that case, you're talking about space flight, frankly.
Space flight. If you go to the Blue Origin website and you actually see, they have video up there of the test flight. And the actual spacecraft is this weird cone-shaped spacecraft. It's bizarre. It has like four little legs on it. So it goes straight up in the air. But it doesn't even look fake. Like, it's hard to even imagine that thing can fly. But it's absolutely hilarious. It's pretty neat. And it's pretty neat they put it online. But it's BlueOrigin.com is a very basic website.
It's
nothing too fancy.
They have pictures of the biscuits that they made before the flight. They have pictures of the jumpy jump, the Crayola crayon jumpy jump that they had for the kids. I mean, the people who are watching this in the stands have little cheerleader pom-poms. I mean, it's really very homey.
It's very homey, and it's hilarious because I actually did a story on it, and then I looked at the Virgin Galactic website with Richard Branson, which is so slick and so polished, and it's so funny if you actually compare the two of them. It's definitely a big contrast. Another funny thing about BlueOrigin.com is that they're hiring engineers to come and work with them, so on their site they also have job advertisements. But if you look at the website, when I went to BlueOrigin.com, I'm thinking, these people are trying to get into space travel, and this is
hiring.
One of the most basic websites I've ever seen. It makes me kind of laugh. It's interesting. It's
certainly, there's no CSS involved here. This is it's pretty much just goes straight down the page.
I know, it kind of made me laugh though, because you go there and it is so basic and so generic that you almost like it at the end. You almost think, oh, this is sort of interesting.
It's unpretentious. So the motto of his effort is gratitim ferociter. And so people are saying, well, what the heck does gratitim ferociter mean? The thinking is it means step by step courageously. Gratitim ferociter.
Interesting.
Some say step by step aggressively or ferociously or defiantly or arrogantly. Ferociter is the one that's kind of tough. It's kind of the root of ferocious. But the thinking is really means courageous. That's kind of neat.
It's kind of neat. And also, a friend of mine sent me a link to Endless.com, which is another sort of Amazon property, and they launched a shoe and handbag site. So
I couldn't figure out why you sent me a shoe and handbag site. I thought she's going to talk about shoes and handbags.
No. I mean, that's not really my thing, but I think it's hilarious. In the same week someone sends me a link to Amazon.com, they're just the founders launching this big space travel initiative. Oh, and they also launched a shoe and handbag site that's a part of it.
There's a little confusion.
Amazon.
So it doesn't say Amazon anywhere on Endless.com. It just says Endless.com beta.
Yeah, I hear it's an Amazon product. Actually, it was a friend of mine who works at Digital Journal who sent me the link. And
they have men's shoes. They have kids' shoes. They have handbags. They have European clutches. I don't, the shoes for men, they're all half boots.
Leo, do you wear just Docs? I mean, you have a lot of Docs, right?
I actually don't wear any Docs. That's for the show.
I thought they were Docs.
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
for
that's
the
what
show.
I'm talking about. Yeah. That's the only time I see you, Leo.
Yeah, I'm wearing sneakers right now. Usually I wear, I'm not into shoes. Although I guess I would be into shoes. I kind of have this fantasy about myself that someday I'll have tailored shirts, Italian suits and tailored shirts and, Bruno Maggi shoes. But it's a fantasy because I never actually do it.
I imagine that too. I imagine that I'm very glamorous and I get dressed up. But the truth is, as soon as I finish work and as soon as I get into my own environment, I end up putting on jeans and a hooded sweatshirt and a hat, like an army hat. And that's my outfit all weekend. Like, there's nothing glamorous about it. It's just very low-key.
You looked glamorous at that New Year's Eve. Or no, I guess it was a Christmas party. The picture on your MySpace. You look very glamorous.
Oh, yes, that was at one party. I cleaned up nicely that night.
I haven't seen the dress because it's off the shoulder, so and all the shots are above the dress, so it just looks like you're naked, basically.
But I know. It's the naked MySpace shot. I shouldn't say that. I really should take that back right now. But speaking of that, and I didn't put it on our list, but on my blog...
I know. I saw this on your blog.
Did you see this?
Yes. Tell us about it.
Can you play a little bit of that maybe? But it's a sure. video that Matt Harris from Torrent and Call for Help sent me. And it's this group in New York City who do these independent video productions on the web. And this one is about a professional MySpace photographer. And it made me laugh so hard. His name is Quigley, right?
It's a joke, though, right? I mean, he's not really a professional MySpace photographer.
He's not really a...
Or is he?
But I'm no, he's not. And it's definitely a joke, but it's hilarious.
Here, listen.
I'm a professional MySpace photographer.
If you want it, you can have it. But you gotta
know. So they're doing the angles right now. Sheffield Quigley, professional MySpace photographer.
Now I'm set up in New York. I have my studio here. New York is the place to be when you're a big-time pro photographer. It's constant inspiration. You know, the city breathes. Breathes. You know, I am New York, and New York is me. Well, I just wrapped a huge gig over at Clay High School. I was doing all their senior portraits. But now I'm strictly MySpace.
It is so funny. You just have to see this. I mean, it is hysterical.
America, right?
It's really well done.
It's really well done. And for anyone who wants to check it out, it's just at black20.com, BLACK20.com. And it's so hilarious because as you get into the video, what they end up doing is this guy says that he actually created all those different ways to pose on MySpace photos. You have the shot of the kid in the bathroom that it makes it looks like the kid actually took the photo himself, and just the sexy shots. And he said he was the creator of all these different shots. So you watch it, it's just, it's amazing to me how creative people are with a lot of the video production on the web these days. Just really high quality work.
Go to AmberMack.com because she's got a frame from it of that bathroom picture with a guy who's, you know, looks like he's taking a picture of himself with his camera phone, but really the photographer is shooting him taking a picture of himself with his camera phone, and that's the actual picture. It's very funny. I guess you have to kind of get MySpace pictures and the whole MySpace angles thing and everything to really get it.
Yeah, I think you really have to understand some of the photos on MySpace. And once you do, and once you know anything about MySpace at all, and you watch this video, you realize that we're laughing right now, but a year down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone out there, maybe even sooner than that, who's doing it.
Professional. Target is giving away iTunes songs in an unusual manner.
Yeah, this is kind of fun. And the reason that I put this on our list, Leo, is because I can remember working with you on Call for Help where you were always saying that, you know, certain things like USB keys, different little tech toys were going to turn up in cereal boxes. And so this made me laugh at Target that what's happening in the, I think it's General Mills cereal boxes, is that they're now coming with two free iTunes songs.
Yes.
And you get a coupon for $1 off a $15 iTunes card. And so it just, you know, it kind of makes me laugh to see people sort of marketing all of this different tech stuff in cereal boxes, because it's true. I remember when I was a kid, I used to always have the cereal box and you used to get fun stuff in it, and you set it on the table and I used to read the back of it and there would be little games, and now it's iTunes.
I totally remember to do that. That would be my reading material in the morning, is the cereal box, the back of the cereal box.
I know. And you would just read any, you know, there'd be so much stuff to read on little quizzes, trivia. And then at the bottom of the cereal bag, you would get your toy for the day.
Were you a Cap'n Crunch girl, or were you more like a Kix Fruit Loops type?
You know, Leo, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you because, and my mom would kill me if I told you this and anyone else, but when I was growing up, we always had puffed wheat. You know, those big bags
of
puffed wheat?
Awful.
And I bet you we had other cereal too, but I can't remember any of it. All I remember is this giant bag of puffed wheat.
Endless.
And it was awful.
At least
it's,
you could have had
styrofoam.
Sugar Smacks, which is puffed wheat dipped in sugar.
There were no Sugar Smacks. It was puffed wheat or oatmeal.
Your mom was very healthy. She didn't allow you to have sugared cereals, did she?
I think she just thought we would eat anything, and it was a big, cheap bag of cereal. She just poured it in a bowl, and that was the end of that. That's how I think it was.
Difference. See, we don't let our kids eat sugared cereal, but when I was a kid, it was I loved Cap'n Crunch. I don't care that it cut the hell out of the roof of your mouth. I loved it. You didn't have it, though. Did you, like, when you got out of the house, did you go out and eat Cap'n Crunch? You've never had Cap'n Crunch. I bet you've never had it.
No, I've had Cap'n Crunch before, and Fruit Loops, and all those different types
of
cereals.
Some boyfriend had it, that's why, and you had to eat what was there.
Oh, no, I would never go out with a guy who ate Cap'n Crunch. I'm just kidding. But it's true. You know what? I actually think Cap'n Crunch is definitely a guy's cereal. Like,
oh, yeah. It's like
my
Three
brother
Stooges.
Loved Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah. No, there's certain things that are guy things. Three Stooges, Cap'n Crunch.
Cap'n Crunch.
Because he's
not
a captain.
Sure what. Yeah, it's true. I know. He's a captain. He's
no,
cool.
My sister liked Cap'n Crunch. She did. She was. But maybe that's because I was eating it.
Anyhow, the whole idea of like all this stuff being in cereal boxes
box.
For some reason reminds me of you.
I once got a CD in a cereal box. I imagine it's just a matter of time before you get movies. And you're right. I often think that you'll see USB keys in cereal boxes.
Or MP3 players. I mean,
They're cheap enough.
MP3 players are coming down so much. It just makes it makes perfect sense. If I want to get into the homes and, you know, get into like young kids into their hands, and, you know, that's the place where I would want to put my products personally.
Now explain this link, simplisticmovielinks.blogspot.com. It's a blog of simplistic movie links. What does that mean?
It's not really simplistic movie links. It's really a weird idea, and I haven't watched an entire movie on this, but what they're doing on this site is they're actually taking clips of movies, I think, that are on YouTube, like, let's say, Borat, for instance.
Right.
They're piecing all the different clips together to kind of allow you to watch
to make a full movie.
So you can watch the full movie, although it's kind of cut up into a bunch of different chunks. But I don't know. I found it on a blog recently, and I thought it was kind of interesting to see people actually trying to piece together. Like, everybody wants to watch full movies and get them off the web, right?
Get them for free.
Let's play
The Godfather. What do you say? I mean, we could do the entire free version of The Godfather here. Let's see what it sounds like. I don't know if it'll be good or not. Is there audio? I don't hear any audio right now. Oh, here it comes. Not very loud. So it's just going to be stuff from the trailer. They rearrange the trailer? Is that how it works?
No, some of them are piecing together actually like full TV shows. And
they can get the whole movie off of YouTube?
Some of them are like a lot of mostly clips that are trying to piece together the entire movie. But I haven't, like I said, I haven't watched one in its entirety. But I think it's just part of a lot of the stuff that's coming out online in terms of people really wanting to be able to watch an entire movie or TV show on the web and not necessarily go into your movie store and have to actually rent the movie.
This is clearly like a trailer from it.
I taught her neighbor to dishonor her family. She found a boyfriend, not an Italian.
This is the scene at the you come to me at my daughter's wedding and you ask me.
That's such a good movie.
That's such a great movie. That's one of my favorites.
It's amazing. I could watch that over and over and over again. And then also, the next thing I wanted to chat about was just the idea that someone in the UK, and I think this is probably happening elsewhere, who is a doctor, so... is a general practitioner, is actually sending their patients to YouTube for medical advice. What they've done is they've uploaded their own videos to YouTube, and their videos about, you know, helping people with sort of common problems. So instead of them coming into the doctor's office, they're sending them to their own site, which they run on YouTube. So, you know, you can have sort of a mini profile on your site within YouTube
and sending them there. This is called Keeping the Flame Alive.
We can use this now. Down, boys.
We're outside the hospital, we're just setting up the candles, getting our hands dirty and waiting for the people to come and hopefully light the tapers. That's plan A. We might have to have a plan B for the lighting.
I don't think this is advice, actually. This is like something else that they were doing, but it's on her site. Let me try. Here's one on flu vaccines. Oh, here she is. Here's the doctor.
Hello.
Hello.
Today I'm going to talk to you about the flu vaccine.
She's very sweet. I'd like to go.
Influenza or flu can be a very serious illness.
She's a nurse.
Many people die each year from the complications of flu. It is spread by mucus droplets.
Okay, that's enough of that.
I know. It's just, I find it odd, some of the things that people are using YouTube for. So I thought
this was definitely a funny one. Why host it yourself?
Oh, I think that part of it is good. It's just the idea that, you know, I don't know. There's other people also on YouTube who are, you know, trying to give out sort of medical advice. And I don't know. I guess you start to wonder.
Don't get your medical advice from YouTube. You're probably.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I guess you could try. And then, Leo, we have to talk about this because I really don't know very much about the Venice Project. And I'm hoping you
do. I'm a member.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm a beta member. It's a really interesting idea. It's from the guys. Swedish, I think, aren't they? Swedish guys who wrote Kazaa and Skype.
Yep. They're
quite brilliant. And now what they're trying to do is create a stream, basically an internet television system via streaming video. And I would presume, although I'm not sure, that it's using peer-to-peer technology, because the big issue with streaming video, as you know, I've really looked into this. One of the reasons this show is an audio show and not a TV show is because the cost of streaming video is outrageous.
Oh, it's so expensive.
In fact, on their own blog, and I presume you can go there, thevenniceproject.com/blog, they talk a little bit about it. I'm quoting from the blog, a digital television feed from a satellite would set you back something between 14 and 70 gigabytes an hour. Compressed digital television, 900 megabytes and 3 gigabytes an hour. So there's got to be a lot of work to make this succeed, but I think it's very exciting. I got an invitation. I'll send you an invitation. I have a few invitations, so you can join. This is the one negative. It's Windows only right now. So that's kind of a drag.
But there's so much hype about it. I mean, it really is.
Well, because it's from Skype. It's the guys who did Skype.
I know.
I mean, anything they do would be hyped, right?
And I totally agree with you. Like you said, they're behind Kazaa. They're behind Skype.
Right.
So I feel like this inherently will probably end up being, you know, somewhat successful just because of all the experience that they have.
I got some more tokens, so I can get you into the beta test if you'd like, and you can try it, and maybe next week you can give us a review, because I'll be honest with you, I haven't really done anything with it yet.
Yeah, I would love to check it out. Like I said, I've heard so much about it.
Yeah. It's in fact, even Mike Arrington was talking about it on Twitter and says he really thinks there's something important here. Just because these guys are so bright, and anything that they address seems to be, look, Kazaa was huge. Skype is huge. I mean, anything that they address is going to be pretty significant. So I guess in order for me to use this, I have to download this software, and that's what I haven't done because it's Windows only. And then I'll be able to presumably watch some form of streaming programming on this thing. Oh, by the way, it says, shh, don't tell anyone. So I'm sorry I said anything.
That's like, do you remember when we interviewed the founder of Newsvine, and it was invite only, and so they were in the beta testing, and then we agreed that, you know, we got a super token invite, and we would send emails to invite people to the service, and I spent I don't know how many weeks, maybe a couple of weeks, sending out invites to thousands of people. This kind of reminds me of that, Leo.
Amber, I'm going to invite you right now. Let's see, I only have two invites. So there you go. That's it. They're done. And so don't ask me for an invite, okay? Amber MacArthur. I'm going to use your super secret email that only I know.
And I don't know it either.
Yeah, right. And okay, now you're invitated. So you can participate.
That's perfect. I will do a little review of it next week and see what more information I could dig up about it, because I keep reading about it all over the place.
I've been lax. Now, on the other hand, I can't wait to use Hot or Not on Google Maps.
I thought you'd like this one, Leo. Now, this is, you know, every time we talk about different tech news and web news, it's always fun to throw something in here that's a little bit wacky and a little off. But this is a mashup. So we haven't talked about mashups in a while. So they're taking a couple different services like Google Maps and Hot or Not. So you can find out if there are, I guess, hot people living near you. And I know you've looked around Petaluma. And I've looked in my zip code
because it's by zip code. And there's quite a few. And actually, I'm a little nervous about clicking through this for fear I might actually see somebody I know, like my daughter or something. But so far, nobody I recognize. So this is from the Hot or Not website?
I think it's a mashup. It's from frozenbear.com. So it's hotmaps.frozenbear.com. So I'm not sure who actually put it together.
But it's pictures of Hot or Not people, right?
Exactly, but and it's mashed up with the Google Maps, so you can find out, you know, like you said, per zip code, if there's someone from Hot or Not.
Dan, you're single.
Living in
come
your
over
town?
Here and pick one that we can, because I guess something. Now somebody has put her picture up in a wedding dress, which I think is probably not going to generate. Okay, let's say we'd like to meet her. We'd like to meet her, wouldn't we? Yeah, Dane definitely wants to meet her. Now, apparently, Hot or Not now has this thing where you can meet people.
You could actually.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just voting on people.
Well, I guess now they're getting into the whole networking thing.
It's dating, really. That's smart. You'll make more money that way. But you know what? I'm not sure how well this works, because it says she lives in Maryland. So
it tricked you, Leo.
It tricked me, which is, so that's not going to work. But it says she's in my zip code, so now I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I guess the thing is, I don't think that it's necessarily like the most refined service in the world, but another thing that they're doing with Google Maps that's kind of humorous. And also, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay to, you know, allow people to know kind of what area you live in.
I wouldn't
but,
do this. Yeah.
There's a point where you just sort of, I mean, there's some stuff you want to kind of keep private. I think the same thing with a lot of these instant messaging clients that are coming out where they have sort of geolocators attached to them. I don't necessarily want someone to know exactly where I am all the time. Or
you
like,
put something
arrange.
In your blog about a service like that, and I actually kind of tried to sign up for it, and then I decided not to. What was the name of that? It was Django, or do you remember that? It was in your blog, and that's why I signed up for it. Jaiku, Jaiku is what it was. We're going to take calls in just a little bit. Actually, joining us right now, the DeSantis brothers, and we're going to talk a little bit about something they did that's very cool. Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Hey, Leo. This is Chris DeSantis.
This is Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
And Greg.
And Greg's in there, too. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to Net at Night.
Thank you.
We kind of highlighted some weeks ago the really cool video that you guys did of the iPhone. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to get you on here on the eve of what everybody expects will be the announcement of the iPhone to talk about your video. But you did it some months ago. When did you put that video up?
It was posted back in May 06 was when it went online live on Google Video.
And pretty much the reaction was, like mine, I would pay anything for this. I want this now. It was very cool. Did you do this kind of out of nowhere, or did you have input? I mean, how did you come up with this iPhone?
Well, pretty much we were, my brother and I do a lot of special effects. We make films for film festivals. We're both visual effects artists. I work for a special effects company in Venice.
Ah, because I was going to say, this is very professional. But
sure.
let me play a little bit of this video that the DeSantis brothers made so that, first of all, it is about as pro as you can get. I mean, this looks like something Apple would have done, although you do put a disclaimer right up front that it is not from Apple. But it is a beautiful aluminum phone floating through the air, which is the coolest effect. And then it opens up. It's got a top and a bottom that open up to show the touch screen. It's got an iPod click wheel on the other side, along with a camera. And you've got, I don't know why, but you've got My Fair Lady playing in the video. Was that because you could get the rights to that? I don't
we'll turn up that in a minute. We'll talk about that.
How'd you get it to float through the air like that?
It's all magic.
It was beautiful.
Apple magic, pretty
much. Is there a string attached? Come on.
No, it's all visual effects. It's all computer generated. The entire spot is all CG.
Even the phone?
There's a couple of photo plates in the background.
No kidding.
That we took, but...
So it's all... there is nothing floating because it's all just drawings, essentially.
Exactly. It's all computer-generated imagery.
Wow. And how did you... let me read some of the comments. I mean, somebody asked, is it possible to open with one hand? Like, it's real! That looks cool. Somebody said, I would pay any amount of money in the world for this. So here's the question. Made up out of whole cloth?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Greg's a designer. He actually conceived and designed the phone, so I'll let him talk all about his thoughts on it.
Greg, go ahead.
Hi. Well, we knew that Apple was thinking about having a phone, and we just kind of put our heads together and thought about, you know, what would we like to see? And I guess the main thing that we've always wanted to have is a really big screen. And the best way to do that is to dedicate one whole side of the phone to being a video screen.
And I think that's what they'll do.
I hope that's what they do. I would love it if they would do that.
There's no number pad. The pad is a touch, imaginary pad that's on the touch screen.
On ours or on theirs?
On yours. We don't know about theirs.
Right, on ours. Yeah.
Although they have a patent. They have a patent that looks very much like that. Did you look at the
really?
Patents? Yes.
No. We just basically said, what would we like to see, and came up with this. And the two opening sides were simply so that you could get the controls while looking at the screen and then fold them away when you're done. So
makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I think that's probably why this got so much attention, is it looks like the kind of phone Apple would do.
Right. And the commercial looks like that as well. I think, right. I mean, when I saw it at first, it took me quite a few times after watching it to realize that this wasn't actually an Apple commercial, because it has the whole, you know, feel of something that Apple would put out there.
Thank you very much. Greg and I are working on sort of some commercial directing reels, and this is actually one of the first ones in sort of a series where we sat down. We said, "Well, what do we want to make for commercials?" And we said, "Well, you know, it's a new millennium. We need to start sort of taking products and bringing them where we would like to see them, you know, in a feasible manner, you know, and update them and create what we think would be incredibly cool to see that you could do with technology we have today." So we're working on other ones too at the moment.
So in a way, this is
our version of high tech, what it should be now, futuristic design and, you know, style.
And in a way, this is your audition reel. I mean, this is auditioning for a job. Would you be thrilled if Apple called and said, "Hey guys, we actually need an ad"?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we would be thrilled if they called at all. We were just thankful they didn't call and tell us to cease and desist.
Yeah, exactly. We're actually huge, huge Apple and Macintosh fans. We think they get it right. They know what they're doing. You know, they understand, you know.
Did you hear anything from anybody at Apple at all?
No. Nothing whatsoever.
Really? No, but we're dying to know. We figure it's kind of funny. We did no publicity. What happened was we made the spot. We're working on new ones, and Greg actually, you know, I'm Mr. Well, we don't have enough to show yet. He's like, "No, put it on the web. Let's see what happens." So we put it on Google Video with no PR, and in 3 months we're averaging about 100,000 hits a month. We're at like 600,000 hits right now with several hundred thousand, and that's just on our Google Video we posted. We noticed it's been cloned.
Oh, it's all over YouTube. You're not counting the many, many hits you've gotten on YouTube. Probably many more.
It's on Dig, YouTube, and then on top of that, it was also things that helped our postings too. Was that, of course, we were on Gizmodo ran with it. Pogue wrote about us, New York Times. Stuff magazine in Europe did an article on it without, you know, we're just like, "What?" And just, you know, just sort of
out of nowhere.
Took off out of nowhere. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's kind of funny, too. I came across this blog today. It's called the Tech E-Blog, TechEblog.com. And they have this post recently that they put up, top 5 fan-made game commercials. And it just seems like a lot of people out there are actually making commercials, and some of them are actually better than some of the commercials that these companies have come out with. And you just have to, you know, have to start to wonder if people are going to be just, you know, picked up and their commercials are going to either be used or they will hire people like you guys to actually direct the commercial for them.
One can hope.
Yeah. Definitely one can hope.
Do you guys actually, you actually work in the business though? I mean, you are working now.
I work at Digital Domain, which did the effects for Titanic, most famous for that.
Yeah,
I'm a CG soup and a previous soup there, and I do a lot of commercial work for, like, David Fincher, the guy that directed Fight Club and Seven. I've done a lot of his commercials. Rob Cohen did Stealth, and we do very high-end commercials, and pretty much, you know, people are starting to talk about the idea of maybe, you know, I should try out to direct some stuff. So that's where this was the first of a series of commercials we're trying to conceive to kind of show, you know, we've got this stuff to maybe actually get to do real commercial work. Mark Romanek was a very famous director, and I really look up to him. He does most of the Apple commercials, the iPods and whatnot. He's very big with Mac. Yeah. And, you know, we're trying to try and start seeing if we could maybe create something that looks like that. But that's why we put the disclaimer on the front, because we're not trying to trick people.
Right.
We're not trying to say, you know, we're not trying to do like a fan-made thing and trick you into thinking it's the phone, which a lot of people weren't sure. You want the disclaimer. We were getting these, you know, these postings saying, you know, I don't know. It's too real looking, you know, and people are starting to debate that.
Real, but boy, it sure does look real.
Greg, did you do all the CG? Was that your thing?
Basically, I designed and then built the model of the phone in the computer, and then Chris took that and he animated it and edited it into a very real feeling commercial.
Have you been doing this since your brothers? Have you been doing this since you were kids? Is this something you've always done together?
Well, we've both been doing it for about 6 years now. I have a graphic design branding firm. I'm on the East Coast in Washington, D.C., and Chris is in Venice, California, but we work online together all the time.
Isn't that cool? Amber works with her brother, too. I love it when you can do that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, especially now where it's very easy. We just FTP things back and forth, and, you know, the software talks to each other, so we're able to sort of conceive. Greg does all the art direction. Greg is sort of the art director, designer for everything we do, and then I'm very good at sort of creating a mood and a feel and a flow, and I'm a very good animator and layout.
Who does that music? That song is fantastic. I love that.
What's that?
Who's the song by?
That's 07, and the song's In the Waiting Line.
Love it.
It's such a great song. Isn't that on the Garden State soundtrack, possibly?
It is on the Garden State soundtrack also. We were originally, it was funny, talking about things like My Fair Lady, we were discussing sort of the impetus for the spa, and originally I was thinking about doing classical because I'm very inspired by things like 2001 A Space Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And we
that
would have
been very obvious, though. That would have been, yeah, that would have been a little cornball.
We wanted to keep it kind of cool, yeah. So we went with that instead.
And it's perfect. Do You Believe? It's perfect. Yeah.
And why blogs picked up on that. It's amazing. If you like just type iTalk into Sandus into Google, you just find, you know, pages, and everyone writes that. They say, you know, the song's sort of a nudge. You know, is this real? Is it not real? And a lot of people also thought this was one of several conceptual spots, like, to pitch to Apple for what the phone should look like. Some people actually thought this was a, like, there was a series of these, and then, you know, somewhere Steve Jobs is going to pick the one he liked, you know. And so,
how long did it actually take you to put the entire commercial together?
About a month in our spare time.
Yeah, wow. Evenings working together.
That's kind of amazing, yeah.
This was done, Greg was out here for a little while doing some conceptual design work in L.A. And we were staying together, and we had this desk, and we just sat across from each other. And we were starting to work on this spot, and pretty much what we did was we started out with the idea. We knew what we wanted to do, and Greg worked on several phone designs. He would then give me what we call previs, where it's a very blocky, simple version. We start to do some layout in the computer and kind of cut a spot together and get a mood together, and we said, you know, this is it. Greg went to town and finalized his design, and then he got that over to me, and then I would surface in light and put it through the rendering, and we'd edit together, and you know, had a finished spot in the end. It was, you know, pretty simple process. I just did it in the evenings pretty much over about a month and a half.
What software did you use?
The modeling was done on an Apple using Cinema 4D.
Mm-hmm.
And then the editing and all was done by Chris on a mix of platforms. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's PC and a little bit of Apple. It's for editing, it's Apple, and then for PC, it was a program called Lightwave.
Mm-hmm.
Greg uses Cinema 4D. I use Lightwave primarily, and they work great. They're sort of like cousins. A lot of things just go right back and forth seamlessly, which is great for us.
Well, all right, here we are, 2 days away from the keynote, which most people agree that the actual iTalk or iPhone or whatever it's going to be called will be, we're pretty sure it's not going to be the iPhone, will be announced. What do you think, guys? You want to make a prediction?
I hope so.
We all hope so.
I'm actually more excited for the ITV, actually, myself. I've been, you know, in this whole battle between Blu-ray and HD, because I'm, you know, of course, I'm a visual nut, as you can tell. I actually am very excited about the idea of the technology where you can download to, you know, to a box of some kind, and then watch your HD content, and then maybe just store it remotely. It's kind of like iTunes works, sort of like, you know, you have a library, and when you call on it, you can download it, and when you don't need it, it's stored somewhere. So I'm dying to see the...
Yeah, I'm excited.
You know, the ITV and the future of that technology.
Well, we hope you're right. We look forward to finding out for sure on Tuesday, and we thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. It'll be interesting to see if the phone does look anything at all like what you guys have dreamed up.
We're curious. We can't wait, actually, to see the...
I'll be one of the first in line to buy it, no matter what.
I hope it looks like that, because that's the one I want. I mean, you've actually set the bar pretty high, and right. I wouldn't be at all surprised. Now, you won't, just so we know, you won't sue if it looks just like that, will you?
No, of course not.
Planning to.
we may hit him up for a job, though.
Yeah,
as designers and directors for Apple, but we won't sue.
If Jonathan Ive steps up and says, "Look what I've created," I'm going to say, "No. Talk to the DeSantis brothers. They made that up first." Chris and Greg DeSantis, you can see on Google, if you just do a search for iTalk or YouTube or pretty much anywhere, if you Google iTalk, you'll find their great commercial for the iPhone or whatever Apple calls its new cell phone. Thanks for joining us on Net at Night.
Thanks so much,
guys.
Great job. To you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Good night.
That's fun. I just loved that video so much. By the way, if you're waiting to see Bill Gates, he hasn't come on stage yet. They're still showing a slide. 40th anniversary of CES. There's nothing to see here.
So they're a little late with the presentation.
They're running a little late. Maybe that Xbox 360 crashed again or something.
Kind of like Vista, I guess. Maybe it's a theme for the year or something.
Yeah, everything's late, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, shall we take some calls while we're waiting for Bill and company to appear?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got TalkShoe fired up, and it's going to be Simac, our first caller on Net at Night. Simac, welcome to Net at Night.
Leo.
Yes.
Hey. I didn't even know I was in the queue.
You are not only on the queue, you were number one in the queue.
Well, that's something else. I can't believe that.
Congratulations. You win the prize.
Congratulations to me.
We should have prizes. I actually can't hear him, Leo, but
oh, you don't want to hear him. All right, turn it off.
You don't want to hear me.
Now you can hear him.
No, I definitely want to hear you.
I'm kind of caught off guard. I wasn't really ready for it. I'm just sitting here watching Bill Gates not come on.
Yeah, as we all are. Please stand by. The show will begin shortly. They have at least changed the slide.
Exactly. So anyway, this is really cool. It's my first time on TalkShoe, and it's actually my first time speaking with you personally. I actually met you a couple times at CES and stuff.
Oh, but, neat. What do you do for a living?
I'll be at Macworld. I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living?
I do some IT work for a finance company and web development company in Seattle area. That's where I'm based out of.
All right.
But I'm in California right now doing some IT work.
Not at CES and, this year, huh?
Not at CES. Skipping CES for once. But just switched the whole company over that I'm working for to Macintosh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Much to your urging as well.
Oh, I get credit for that?
You get a little bit of credit.
All right. Amber gets credit for converting me to Mac, and then I get credit for converting you to Mac.
There you go. And
I don't know if I converted you, Leo, but...
maybe. I don't know. Maybe I had a little something to do with it. Well, it's good to talk to you. I thank you for joining us, SciMac. Any questions or comments you'd like to make before we move on?
Yeah, like I said, wasn't really ready for it, but I guess I'll see you at Macworld. I'm hoping to go to the Apple Store.
Don't go to the Apple Store. We've changed our venue. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. We are now going to be at the 21st Amendment Brew Pub on 2nd Street. We had to move. It's kind of, we had set it up with the Apple Store. Apple Retail loves us because when we do shows there, and we've done Twit there two times, and you were there at one of them, Amber, a lot of people come into the store. I mean, we generate a lot of traffic and a lot of sales. But Apple corporate PR had a little bit of an issue, and actually I kind of agree with them. On the one hand, they were afraid it would look like they were paying us somehow to be at the Apple Store to talk about Macs. Because unlike Twit, this was a Mac podcast we're going to do. And then they were concerned, well, what if they're really critical of everything? It's going to be bad to have it in our store. And they're saying Apple stinks. In the long run, they invited us. But I agreed with Apple PR. And I said, we probably shouldn't be doing a Macintosh podcast in an Apple Store. We should be doing it in a neutral venue. The fact that you could also get beer and food at this neutral venue swayed me a little bit. So go to, it'll be much more fun, SciMac. Much more fun.
It'll be like the dig version of Mac Break.
And I have invited Kevin Rose, although he's got a dinner date, so we're hoping we can steal him away a little bit. But a lot of the twits will be there. And one of the fun things about this, it is the second anniversary of the very first Twit pilot, which we did on the same day after Macworld at the same venue at the 21st Amendment. So once I realized that, I thought, we have to do it there. There's no question. This is where we belong. So, SciMac, I see that the video is starting to begin at CES. We'll let you go so you can watch Bill Gates.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Thanks for joining.
I saw that da-da-da thing you referred to.
Wasn't that funny?
I remember that. When YouTube came out, it was one of the first things I hunted for. Because I thought, I wonder what happened to that video.
They never release it because they don't have the rights to all that stuff. Let me turn it up here, and we'll play a little bit of it right now. This is at CES. This is the video that they're playing before the Bill Gates keynote. And it's the usual. Oh, there's a Zune. People driving around, grooving to their Zune. Can you hear that okay, Amber?
I can't hear it very well.
I'll turn it up a little bit for you. It's not very loud. Can you hear it? I'm totally violating copyrights by playing this. It's just happy people using Microsoft products is what it is. A lot of video of that. Look at these people, happy in the living room watching their big screen TV. We're gonna just let that run in the background. I'm not gonna use the audio, and we'll just if Bill comes on, we'll pull him up. Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just a bunch of nothing.
A whole lot of nothing. A
whole lot of nothing. There's two girls dancing. There's a rock and roll player. Oh, she's taking a picture of him with her camera phone. Isn't that cute? And then they high-five each other. This is not how real people behave. I just want to point this out. Shall we take another call?
I think we should, definitely.
All right. We're going to go to Wal-1-Jim. What's your real name and where are you calling from, Walwanjim?
My name is Jeff from Novi, Michigan.
Oh, great. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Welcome to Net at Night. Got a question, a comment, a suggestion?
No, actually, you kind of caught me off guard, too. I wasn't aware that I was in the queue.
How are you people getting in the queue if you're, oh, I see what's happening. I'm not taking phone calls. I am taking unmuting people. I get it. My fault. Oh, there's Bill looking geeky. Let me turn him up just real briefly so we can see Bill Gates.
The most manic environment ever, seeing all these thousands of companies delivering on the promise of the digital decade. It's always been
he's
fun
such a nerd,
I
isn't he?
People ask me,
he's the master nerd.
Doing it.
He is. He's the chief nerd, the president of all nerds.
And the answer is yes. Next year, I'll be involved in the keynote like I always.
Oh, so he's going to do it next year.
After that, I'm not sure they'll want to invite me because I might talk a lot more about infectious diseases than great.
So that's actually of the first news item, which is that we didn't know that Bill Gates was retiring in 2008. He will do one more CES keynote. I think I'll be there for that.
Yeah, that would be pretty important to see his last keynote there.
Yeah, I hope they don't overlap as they have in the past, Macworld and CES.
I know, I hate that they're doing that.
But I think I have to go for that. And, you know, they do it on Sunday night, so you can go and then come back for Macworld. But I think I'm going to make my reservation right now.
Leo, that should be the tour. You should do a Twit tour.
We'll be down there. Maybe you and I, you know what I'd love to do? It'd be so fun, and they'd never let us do this. But cover it like, you know, you cover a presidential election or a convention. We need a booth. You and I sitting there doing commentary. Maybe the Comedy Channel would let us do that.
Okay, I got to practice my comedy a little bit.
Nah, you're funny. Now I'm going to do it right this time and go to the right one, Underscore, who's been hanging on for a long time because I was taking the wrong people out of the queue. Hey, Underscore, welcome to Net.
Hey.
Now we're actually taking people who want to be on.
Well, yeah, I guess. With all the work you do on Sunday.
Yeah.
KFI, it's Hit the Twit.
Yep.
And you do this Net at Night.
Yep.
What day do you take off for yourself?
That's a very good question. No day. And that's becoming a problem. As a matter of fact,
that's like a new day. No day.
No day. I take no day off, and I take no day off every week. Sometimes I'll take two no days off. So no, that is a. He actually, it's funny. I don't think most people follow my schedule that closely, but in fact, Sunday is my worst day of the week.
But Leo, you said just last week you're trying to take more time off.
I am, and I'm what we're going to do, what I'm going to do, Dana has agreed to help me out with editing, which really half of my job is, you know, I do half of it is recording this stuff, but then I have to go back and edit it and produce it. And with Dane taking some of that load off, my plan is to not take days off, but instead to take mornings off. Anyway, that's my plan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me about that plan.
But I'll be honest with you. This isn't work. I like what I'm doing.
I know. That's part of it. That's how I feel as well, is that this is fun, you know?
We were chatting earlier in the day, and I said, you know, we're lucky. At least we have jobs we like. So many people don't like what they're doing. I can't really complain about not having a day off. They're getting echo. Let's try Keaton and see if it sounds better. Keaton was the guy complaining about it, the echo. Are you hearing the echo still, Keaton, or does it sound okay now?
I don't really hear much when I'm talking. I don't know what the rest of people hear.
Yeah, we're having some trouble with the phone audio, and probably something I'm doing wrong, but I'm not sure what it is. What's your question, Keaton? First of all, what's your real name? Where are you calling from? And how old are you?
Well, my real name is actually Keaton.
That's good.
And I'm calling from Massachusetts.
All right.
And I'm 13.
Great.
13, wow.
I love kids today. They're amazing. You young people, they're fantastic. What can I do for you?
This Web 2.0 enables you to do a lot more with all computers. It doesn't really take any processor power to run websites.
That's kind of sort of true. Unfortunately, it's not 100% true because things like Ajax really run on your computer. So you're right. With web applications, things like Google Calendar, the calendar is doing the work, or Google Spreadsheet, the spreadsheet calculations are done by Google, not by you. So in that sense, that spreadsheet would be faster than you would be on an old slow computer. But Ajax, and some of the other technologies can be very processor intensive. So that's actually an interesting question. Really. In some ways, that's true. Web applications, I mean, really, a dumb terminal doesn't have to have a lot of processing power.
I love that kids these days are so smart.
What a great, I mean, that's a question from a 13-year-old.
I know.
Unbelievable. Well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but we only have about a minute and a half left anyway. I just can't figure out what's going on here. I'm looking
at... Leo, I have one other little link that I would like to talk about.
Let's do one more link.
Okay, this is a really tiny little thing, but before we wrap up, I just wanted to mention XPad, which is a great Mac notepad. If anyone uses TextEdit to do just simple little notes and a little notepad on their computer, XPad is a free Mac download, and I've been using it, and it's a fantastic little note taker for someone who takes a lot of notes. For instance, when I do all these links, I'm doing it in XPad, and Brian McKechnie from Command End gave this to me, or told me about it, and I've been using it, and I absolutely love it, because it stores all the notes in a little drawer on the side of the download.
It used to be
$10.
So
you can see all the past notes. I know, it's free now.
And the guy's giving it away now.
It's free. So it's just getxpad.com, GETXPAD.com. And I thought it'd be cool, too, if we did like at least one or two sort of free downloads during the show, because people always love that stuff.
One of the neat things about XPad is it also, unlike text edit, will support graphics. So you can, it's really kind of like a clipboard replacement as well.
I love it. It's really great. So any Mac users out there might really like it. And then the last thing, and I know we have to wrap up, is I mentioned I wanted to get a hybrid car, and a couple of people, including Dave, sent me this link to greenhybrid.com, where there's a community and a bunch of information about hybrid cars. So thanks so much for sending me those links, and I'll be checking them out this week.
I apologize to everybody. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I know I'm doing something wrong. I'll figure it out. And next time, shall we just do a lot of calls again? That was so much fun on New Year's Eve.
That was a blast. And we should make people call in with something. We'll make them next Sunday. We'll find something.
It's tough to put them on the spot and say something. So
yeah, we'll make them.
We'll adjust this. We'll have a question of the day or topic of the day that we'll ask you to comment on. How about that?
That's perfect.
Yeah. That way people will have something to say. But we are out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. I don't know what this is going to sound like, but I'm going to unmute everybody. And I'm going to let you all talk when we say goodnight. Are you ready, everybody?
Hi, everyone.
Good night from Net at Night. Good night, Randy South. Good night, Sugar. Good night, Leachum. Good night, Flyer Face. Good night, Lieutenant Silver. Good night, Kay.
I love all the names.
Good night, John.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, Robin. Good night, Kim. Good night. Quipcast _ the mark. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Make sure you catch our Mac Break Weekly and Mac Break all week long as we cover Mac World Expo. We'll be back here next Sunday night, 9 p.m. East Coast time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time, for Net at Night. Good night, everybody.